joys in it. Our hearts gladden, Lord, itself, Lord, in your faithfulness. For you have given us your word, that your faithfulness and your mercy shall never depart from us, Lord, because you are a good, good Father. And everything that we would ever need, everything that we would ever need for life, and even for living godly, it comes from you. You desire nothing from us except to yield ourselves to your Son, who is our life, who is the truth, who is the way. Thank you for yet another beautiful day in your presence, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence to take the living word and break it open and cause us to see the Father's heart, our Savior's heart, and that which is life and that which is transforming. We bless you. We give you praise and we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, it's good. It's good. It's good to be here again to delve into that which is life-giving, that which is transforming. Well, we continue our message, just losing, suffering, sacrificing, dying. You might as well call it take up your cross. Basically, that's what it is. Take up your cross. Taking up your cross. Yeah. Let me change the setting real quick. Yeah. Yeah. Taking up your cross. Yeah. So let's read some scriptures. Give us Luke chapter 9 from verse 23. Luke 9, 23 to 26. Let's read. Luke chapter 9 from verse 23 to 26. Let's read it in the Passion, please. Luke 9, 23 to 26. And he said to them, the King James says, if any man comes. Okay, very good. Now the Passion says, Jesus said to all of his followers, if you truly desire to be my disciple, if you truly desire to be my disciple, if you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your life completely. You must disown your life completely. Why? Because the life that I bring is light. That which you have and that which is in you is darkness. I'm not going to add my light to your darkness. It can't just work. That is why when you open your door, the light from your room breaks through the darkness. The darkness does not enter into your room. You know, in the night, when you open your door, the light in your room just breaks through. Why? Because the darkness cannot comprehend it. It cannot contain or capture it or do anything with it. It must bow. So he says, if you truly desire to be my disciple, you know, as we're worshiping, I heard a voice, you know, it says that there's a river. It's free. It's for the sons and the daughters. Oh, how you would love for his children to drink from it. Drink. It's free. This is how he will love. How he will love his children to just drink from it. So he says, if you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your life completely. Embrace my cross as your own and surrender to my ways. Next verse. Surrender to my ways. Oh. For if you choose self-sacrifice, if you choose self-sacrifice, if you choose it, if you choose self-sacrifice, giving up your lives for my glory, you will embark on a discovery of more and more of true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, that means if you continue to be a God unto yourselves, because that's what happened to all of humanity when Adam fell. They have become a God. They have become like unto us, the Father said. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will lose what you try to keep. You will lose whatever you try to keep. Next verse. It says, even if you gained all the wealth and power of this world, even if you gained all the wealth and the power of this world, everything it could offer you, the glory, the power. Bishop Duncan Williams calls them the three G's. Says the glory, the girls, and the gold. Yes, wealth. So wealth, the glory, the girls. You can't touch these. That's Bishop Duncan Williams. The three G's, the glory, the gold, and the girls. Jesus says, and if you gain all the wealth and power of this world, everything is good for you, yet lost your soul in the process. What good is that? Next verse. So it says, so why then are you ashamed of being my disciple? Why then are you ashamed of being my disciple? Are you ashamed of the revelation truth I give to you? I, the Son of Man, will one day return in my radiant brightness or in my glory with the holy angels and in the splendor and majesty of my Father. And I will be ashamed of all who are ashamed of me because you rejected me, because you did not gladly choose me. And I am for you, for free, that you may have life, have it more abundantly. I desired nothing from you. I put no burden upon you. It says, take my yoke. You know, he says, if anyone thirsts, heavily burdened, you know, as if there were some who didn't thirst and were heavily burdened. It's everybody. Why? Because the nature called sin has been ruling all humanity, and the sentence of death, the sentence, anything that man makes or creates becomes a weapon that destroys man. Anything, everything that God endowed man with has become the source of death. Everything. Look at it. Everything. A woman is beautiful. She has a beautiful something. She uses it to kill many, 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 many men. Causes a lot of conflict. Everything. Everything, something small for you to enjoy, for your husband to enjoy, it is rather used to kill. Oh, I tell you, everything. Everything. Wow. It says, I'll be ashamed of all who are ashamed of me. Let's read another scripture, please. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Verse 26. Again, give me the passion, please. Luke 14, verse 26. Luke 14, verse 26. Luke 14, verse 26. It says, when you follow me as my disciple, you must put aside your father. You must put aside your mother. You must put aside your wife. You must put aside your sisters. You must put aside your brothers. Yes. Yes. You will even seem as though you hate your own life. This is the price you will pay to be considered one of my followers. Because when you follow me, the path that I will take you on, it will look as if you are such a fool and you are so idiotic. It will look as if you are stupid. But yet, it is a path of life that I freely give to all who will choose me. You put aside, the Greek says hate, but it basically says put aside. I mean, essentially means put aside, meaning that you must put your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your wife, your children, and yourself under. Why? It's not because God doesn't like them. It's not because they hate you. No, your father doesn't hate you. Your mother doesn't hate you. But you must put, why? Because the path I will take you on, your father, your mother, your sister, your wife, your husband, your children will fight you and prevent you from taking that path. Because it does not make sense to the natural mind. It makes no sense to anybody. And for you to choose me, wow, you must put them where they belong. And you'll find out. And as I take you on that path, they will look at you and say, I need that which you have. I need it. I need it. I want it. I must have it. Show me the way. Cause me to drink of that river. Show me and let me to drink of that river. For I've observed. You know, Laban had his own ways. He discovered that even though he was cheating Jacob, he cheated him. Yes, they make a deal and he changes the deal. You sign a contract. When the contract's about to end, you say, I've changed it. He changed it. No problem. I will serve another more 7 years because I love this girl. She's the love of my life. So I will do it. Oh, she will do it still. The guy was, but he observed that this guy, everything he touches, it's cold. I'm cheating him. I'm trying to destroy his life. I'm trying to make life difficult for him, but still. You cannot curse that whom the one whom God has blessed. That's what it is. I mean, that was just by the way. Now, what we know or have established so far are these. That number one, the promise. We have a promise of an abundant and triumphant life. And it's here. And it's now. And then when you die, that life continues on the other side. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, Jesus said. It's not so that when you die, then you go to heaven. No. The moment you become a child of heaven or a citizen of heaven, when you die, you continue your life there. And death here means separation of your spirit and soul from your physical body. That's what death means. That separation of your physical body from your spirit and soul. Because Jesus said that I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die. Or he says, if you are dead. Actually, let's read it. I believe it's in, I've forgotten the scripture. It's in John 11. Look at it. Look at John 11 verse, let me see. See, I'm the resurrection and the life. You guys know where it is. Let me just see. Where have you laid it up? Take away the stone. Where have you laid him? Bear with me. 25. Luke 11, verse 25. Let's read from verse 23. It says, Jesus said unto her, let's take it from verse 23. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Your brother shall rise again. Next verse. Then Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know that. Because they knew that a day is coming when the dead shall rise, in the Lord. So he said, I know. I know it. Look at the next. Look at the answer Jesus gave him. He just said unto her, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. And I am the life. I'm he. I am the resurrection. And I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He's saying that, listen, I am going to sow myself. And I'm going to rise up with a life. All of you are dead. Why? Because the nature called sin entered, death passed upon all humanity. The devil had a right to rule and dominate our lives because of sin nature. But I am the resurrection. I am going to sow my life. I'm going to lay down in hell. I am going to be born again in hell, raised up with all. And those who believe in me, they shall never die again, meaning that they will never, ever be separated from the life of God ever again. I mean, your body will die. Your body will give way. Your body is not even going to go to heaven anyway. There are only two people who didn't taste death. And in Revelation, it looks like they are the ones who will come back or something. I don't really understand that. But the only two people, Enoch and Elijah. They were just taken. They were taken. Everybody else that we know, everybody died. Anyway, it says that he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If you believe in me, it's impossible for your spirit and your soul to continue to be separated from the Father's life. No, your body, of course, is corrupt. Nothing can be done about your body. But your life, your spirit, the you. Oh, no. The next verse, then it says, so, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So those who died before I was sown as a seed, like the patriarchs, anybody who died before Jesus is the lamb that was sown for us. Anybody who died before I was sown, that person, because he believed in me, shall live. And those who are living here, who I am going to sow my body, after I have sown myself and I raise up in the resurrection, nobody who believes in me can taste death. It's impossible. You can't. Because you believe in me. Because I am the resurrection. I am the life. In me, by me, through me, you will continually have perpetual life with the Father. That's called eternal life. Because there's something called eternal damnation. But any one of us who believe in Jesus will have that eternal life. So don't feel so terrible about your conditions as it is now. Because you will live forever. There is more. Say they don't like me. They don't respect me. They don't. Oh, this our life is just how many years? 70 years. I don't know where 70 years will find us. Most of us, I don't know where 70 years will find us. I don't think we will live it. I mean, I don't know why you want to live after. I mean, more 70. I think you become useless to even the world. Anyway, So the first one is that there is the promise of an abundant and triumphant life here and now. And number two, to live this life, we must first lose our lives or our right to being God of our own lives. How many of you, can you give my people, please? How many of you have accepted that truth? That to live this life that Jesus brought, we must first lose our lives or lose our right to being the God of our own lives. You all get it, right?
Yeah.
Number three, that because of Adam, Everyone born of a woman is a god unto himself or herself, and therefore worships himself or herself. And everything he or she does must bring honor to himself. That is the nature that became us when Adam fell. Everyone, you don't have to try to be your sins. That it's not your sins that make you. No, you are born with that nature, and you can't change it. You can't help it. Why? Because you have become a god unto yourself. And that's number four, that this man who is a god unto himself, who is flesh and blood, also has a nature called sin. And this nature is under a sentence of condemnation. You didn't do anything. Your sins did not bring this upon you. No. It was a nature that you had, was given to you, and your opinion did not matter. It did not matter. Now, number five, I want you to know this, that before salvation, sin, the nature, ruled our spirit. Pay attention. Pre-salvation, this nature called sin, it ruled, it dominated our spirit, everybody's spirit. Post-salvation or after salvation, this sin nature seeks to rule us through our flesh. When you're born again, you don't have that nature anymore. But this nature seeks to dominate your life through your flesh. Because your flesh is not born again. Your mind, your emotions, your will, your senses, they are not born again. And so sin nature seeks. It's no longer in your spirit. It's no longer dominating your spirit because your spirit is new. You have received a new spirit. Holy Spirit has come to live in there. But your flesh, your emotions, your mind, and your will doesn't respect all these things. It can't even understand what has happened to your spirit. That's why it's so foolish to it. That is why if you subject what is happening in your spirit to your mind, you will never choose the way of the spirit. Unless you bring your mind, your emotions under. Anyway, now, all of us were children of wrath or children of the devil by birth. But by revelation through God's word, we are children of righteousness. See, that is why the good news must be proclaimed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed. I don't draw back from the good news concerning this Jesus Christ. Why? This good news, the proclamation of this good news, it is the power of God. It is that which brings the revelation. It says it is the power of God unto salvation. For in that gospel, in the proclamation of that which Jesus has done, one thing is revealed. It says, for therein the righteousness of God is revealed. So in the proclamation, in the declaration, in the communication that does not communicate to you the righteousness of God that is now yours, it demeans you. It brings you into bondage. It brings you to make you captive to that which is not of God. And it puts a burden on you to try to become, when God never placed any burden. Why? Because the nature which you received, it was the greatest injustice done humanity, because you were not consulted. You were not asked, do you want this or that? No. Therefore, justice requires that God fixes it. And this is what he has done. And it says that in the gospel, in the proclamation, the declaration, in the communication of this good news, the righteousness of God is revealed. From from one level of faith, because when you proclaim it, it gives birth to faith. As you continue in it, the faith, it says, it now begins to rise and explodes into higher levels of faith. Why is faith such a difficult thing to understand? It's because the gospel is hardly proclaimed. Everything is more about what you must do, what you must do to be blessed, what you must do, this, 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 this. But the good news concerning what Christ has done, I mean, someone is drowning. You want to bring life to him. He doesn't need you to tell him what to do as he's drowning. He doesn't need that. No. You are in a hole. How are you going to come out? You need somebody to either come down and get you out or drop in something and get you out. You don't need steps and procedures. I'll tell you. Anyway, you'll get it. Now, so as I was saying, we were children of the devil or children of wrath by birth. But by revelation through the word of God, we are children of righteousness. So anytime you come across or think about sin nature, think about Adam. And when you think about righteousness, think about Jesus. Because sin and righteousness have nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with either Adam or Jesus. That's why nobody can boast. That's why nobody can say that this. That's why God, that is why God is present with me. No. Please, don't do that. Don't do that. Do you know something? Have you realized that when, how many of you remember the story of Amanda Knox, the American who was in Italy and was associated with a murder issue? How many of you remember? You remember, right?
Yeah.
Do you realize that the first and the most important thing is her citizenship? Where does she originate from? Who has right, power, authority, jurisdiction over her? That's the first thing. The second thing is then what she has done or has not done. That's how it is. When God is dealing with you, he's dealing with you. That is my life, the life of my son in her. It's the life of my son in him. That's the first thing. What you do, what you have done, your errors, your sins, those are secondary. The most important thing is which kingdom? Which kingdom has right and power and authority over you? That's the first and most. That is why when he sends you to another person, he says, I am giving you a word. That word is a word of reconciliation. Why? Because I have executed all that is required and I have brought this person into this my kingdom, and let him know, let her know, and let him accept it or reject it. But if you don't, I will require his blood or her blood from you. He said, but Lord, I'm not the one who did all that he did. I'm not the one who made him do all that he's doing. He says, I gave you a word. I didn't tell you to go and tell him what is wrong with him. I told you to go and tell him the word that says there is no barrier that exists now between him or her and me. Every barrier, every...
We can't hear, Pastor.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. We can't hear, yeah.
I'm sorry. Please, if you can't hear me, please wave me quickly. Mercy and atonement. I don't know, surprisingly, I hear myself here, but, oh man, have mercy on me, please. Yeah. No. So we've established these truths. Now let's continue. Let's continue. So please remember, anytime you hear about sin and its nature, think of Adam. Don't think about you. It has nothing to do with you. When you think about or you come across the word righteousness and that new nature, think about Jesus. And which one of these two you permit or you bring yourself under is the one that has dominion over your life. And God is beckoning you to choose the righteousness that his son has brought. And fill your mind with it. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. We're going to read Galatians 5, verse 16 to 19. Let's take it in the King James. Oh, are you enjoying God's word so far?
Yes.
Yes.
Look at Galatians 5 from verse 16 to 19. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, very good. I changed my mic. Now, it says, Galatians 5 verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, let me ask you a question. Such a statement. Which kind of people do you think it can be made to or it's applicable to? Is it those who are born again or those who are not born again?
Born again.
Exactly. Those who are born again, those who have received salvation. So why should he be saying to those who have received salvation that walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh? Because this is the reality. You are born again. Yes, you have the spirit of God. Yes, you speak in tongues. Yes, you are destined to go to heaven. Yes, I know that is true. But you have flesh. And there is a power in it. The sin nature still seeks to dominate you through your flesh. Because it knows that it has lost the battle of your spirit. But it wants to make nonsense the life of God that is now contained in your spirit. So it says, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Next verse. And it says, for the flesh, it lusteth. The flesh, your flesh, my flesh, it lusteth against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Let's read this in the Passion. It says, for your self-life. Remember Jesus said that if any man comes after me or wants to be my disciple, he must disown his own life. Remember?
Yes.
Very good. Now he's saying, why should you disown it? Because your self-life, it craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living free within you. Your helper, your greatest helper, the one who makes impossible things become possible, the one who makes it possible for you to look at somebody who's despicable in his behavior and still say, I love you. The one who makes it possible for you to overlook a fault. The one who makes it possible for your emotions to be brought to a place of rest, because my. Somebody has to just say something and your emotions, they take you on a wow. I mean, the thoughts that will begin to occur to you. I mean, you begin to huff, and because what the guy has said, what the girl has said is just spinning you. You can't even stand there. True or false?
True.
The Holy Spirit is the one who is present, because he is the one who is your helper. Why? Because that ability is not with you. So you have need of help. But your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. That is why you spoke your mind. You did whatever you think will make you feel all right and happy. I can't stand this. You just issue out all the words, you know. And you're supposed to feel okay. But you find out that you're not okay. Why? You find out, I mean, you have done it. You have gone your way. But you realize that as you sit in your car and you are driving, then there's just a disturbance inside you. And you are wondering, what? Because you know yourself. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self from dominating you. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the spirit. This is the conflict. This is why it's not that you don't want to choose the way of the Lord in every situation. It's because there is a conflict. There is a conflict. And Jesus is saying that if you want to be my disciple, you must choose it. The power of my spirit is present, but there is also a power in your flesh. It contains and conflicts everything that my spirit is wanting to bring forth in you. And if you want to keep yourself alive, well, it will dominate your life. Everything that you try to preserve, you will lose it. Everything. Doesn't matter what it is. Because it is out to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I, by my spirit, wants to release the life that is contained in your spirit. It's there. It lies dormant. But I want to bring it forth. And if you want to be my disciple, you must disown your self-life. Look at the next verse. Let's read a few scriptures. What does it say? But when you are brought into the full freedom of the spirit of grace, you will no longer be living under the domination of the law, but soaring above it. What it's basically saying is that don't look at any instruction and say, I am going to try to do it. No, you are not under the law. There is no demand put on your life. There is no pressure. It's no behavior modification. God is not asking you to change your behavior. No, he's asking you to yield to the spirit. He is there. Your life, your strength, your power is in your spirit because the Holy Spirit is there to enforce it. But if you use your mind to think that, well, God requires this of me, so I'm going to do it. No. No, don't do that. Any command of God carries in itself the power. Look, Jesus, the person, Jesus healed a person whose hand was literally dead. Are you with me? He can't raise the hand. That's the thing that he can't do. Jesus comes, then he tells him, stretch forth your hand. The thing that I can't do, you are telling me to do. I've never been able to do it for years. Why are you telling me to do the same very thing? Why? Because he who is the word, when he proclaims that word, in that proclamation, in that word, is the power to execute. He does not did not require the man to conjure strength. Am I making sense to you?
Yes.
Yes.
He doesn't require you to love. You can't. But the love of Christ, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. How can you even look at faults? You can't. No matter how hard, how many times you try, I'm not gonna act this way again in front of this person. The moment you see him, the feelings are coming. The pressure is coming again. It's because you are conscious of you. God wants us to be conscious of our righteousness through Christ. When now, it's not us trying to do anything. We are just conscious of him who is present. You want to speak, you consult with him. Can I say this? Is it okay to say it? This thought I am thinking, nobody can hear it. Nobody, not even your spouse. Yoav doesn't even know the thoughts you are thinking. He doesn't know it. But the Holy Spirit, whom you respect, whom you know is God with you, you consult with him. Is it even appropriate for me to think such thoughts? Is it even appropriate for me to even watch what I'm watching? Is it appropriate for me to say what I'm about to say? This is all he requires. Just a questioning, just an interaction, just because the purpose of resurrection is to bring you to the place where now you can fellowship. Remember, when Adam fell, fellowship ended. Faith and fellowship, to live a life of faith, impossible. Why? Because the part of you that is able to see the invisible is dead, your spirit. Resurrection has brought forth the new nature, which is life, which now can see that which is not visible and can say and speak that which be not as though they are, because you are no longer bound to the natural man. You are no longer flesh and blood. No, you have ceased from being that. You are now, because remember, Adam made all humanity natural, flesh and blood. Jesus is the life-giving spirit to bring us. It's like Genesis all over again. Am I preaching to you?
Yes.
If you don't do this, if you don't begin to communicate, nobody's there. It's all you. You can do whatever you want to do. You can sleep with this person. You can do whatever you want to do. You can share this joke. You can just tolerate this person. Nobody is there. It's just you. But do you have respect for this new life that is in your spirit? You don't. It's because you love your self-life. But it is death. So because of the mind that is set. Oh my goodness, I'm not going to go there yet. But. Okay, next verse. Look at it. Maybe you can give it to me in the. It says, the cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality. Please don't think that this belongs to unbelievers. He is talking to believers. The fact that you're born again doesn't mean that you don't have all those wild, wild, wild feelings. It doesn't mean that. Because you still have flesh. You live in the flesh. What I mean is that you are a spiritual being, but you live in this body. It has five senses. They keep seeing, they keep hearing, they keep seeing everything. They keep tasting, they keep touching. Oh my goodness. The cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography. Go on. Go on. Quickly. It says chasing after things instead of God. The natural inclination of your flesh is to chase after things. It's a natural. It's called the lust of the flesh. It's called the lust of the eyes. They need to gratify your flesh. So anything that comes and try to prevent you from gratifying your flesh, man, you will not let it grow scot-free. That's what it is. Chasing after things that of God, manipulating others. It's a natural thing. Hatred of those who get in your way. Senseless arguments. Resentment when others are favored. Temper tantrums. Angry quarrels. Only thinking of yourself. Being in love with your own opinions. This is the nature that used to rule our spirit, which now rules in our flesh because we are born again. Next verse. Being envious of the blessings of others. Christians gather for a wedding. As it's happening, all those who are not married, it's not anybody who's happy. It's not anybody who's happy. No. Some even don't show up. Some even don't show up because it's not my day. What's the big deal about it? Why should I come anyway? And if I come, it's a natural thing that's in your flesh. Is it going to stop? Oh, no. Until the day that you die. It doesn't stop. Being envious of the blessings of others. Murder. You know, some of you think that you cannot murder. You wait till you are pushed the wall. You are amazed how you will eradicate that person from life because he's such an impediment to your happiness, so-called happiness. uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things, you are set free from them? Do you know that? So don't use your freedom for these things. They will not inherit the kingdom realm of God. You will not experience the life that Jesus said I've brought to you, that you may have life and have him. So your life will be full of torments. And you're always going for deliverance. Always. Always living in bondage to stuff. Because you're using your freedom for the self-life. Next verse. I didn't intend to read this far, but let's read. It's okay. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you, because the Holy Spirit was within you, also has works to bring forth. That's why God gave him to us. If we could do it by ourselves, we wouldn't need him. So God is not saying that you try and do them. No. He said, would you have recognition and respect for my spirit, mine Holy Spirit? Jesus said that if I go, I will send you the spirit of truth. When he come, he will testify to you about me. He will not testify to you about you. No, there's nothing about you that is true or that is life. No, I am the life. I am the truth. I am the way. He is going to testify to you about me. And when you accommodate him, when you say that you respect his presence, when you are driving, instead of listening to whatever you want to listen to, you say, no, I will listen to his word, the Holy Spirit's word. I will just let that one play because I need him. I need him to communicate to me his word. Not, I just like these songs. It's like, you have listened to these songs. You don't even hear anything. All you hear is bum, 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 bum. That's all you hear. As you enter the car, you leave out just the same. And you say, it makes you happy. It makes you happy. Listen, when you go to restaurants, you become happy. When you buy a new shoe, you become happy. When you buy a new wig, you become happy. When you buy a red dress, you become happy. When you buy a skirt, you become happy. Anything you buy, you become happy. Happiness is not it. Joy is it. But joy cannot be experienced by unbelievers. Unfortunately, many believers also can't experience it because they are still dominated by their self-life. Because joy, it's something that only the Spirit can bring forth. That is that thing that in the midst of things not coming through or working, you say, you laugh in his face. You laugh in his face at the scramble, but you laugh in his face. Why? Because there is something that is from within you. Nobody can see it, but it's there. You know it. That no, it's going to be okay. It's going to be well. Your spouse will tell you, why are you not mad? Say, honey, how can I be mad? When God is with me, if he be for us, who can be against us? Because honey is seeing all the things that are up against you, like Job. His wife told him, Abba, why won't you curse this, your so-called God? No, we can be free. All my children are dead. Look at that. All my children are seven children. I mean, what? What? Who is this God? What is this God? But Job knew better. He said, don't speak like those foolish women. Because she couldn't see. But Job could. Job. And then his friends, his best friends, began to assign reasons why those things were happening to him. You know, when you try to explain God, you are the one who knows God. Hey, you think you know God? You think you understand the ways of God? Hey, so you're going to explain why this is happening to him or why this happened to her. Please, I beg you, just hold your breath. Just hold your breath. You don't know squat. I don't know squat. So I see that say, hey, the enemy is wicked, but by God's grace, his mercy and his faithfulness will never depart from him. Why? Because he has set his love upon him. Even if you see, when you try to pursue God, even with the so many errors that you have believed, listen, God knows and understands all things. He says that even if your heart condemns you, I didn't judge you. Because I am greater than your own heart or your own perceptive capacity. So please, chill. I said you're my son. Did I not say I died for you? Did I not say I raised you up? Did I not say I will never leave you? Chill. Is it my Lord? No. Chill. Are you willing to let go of this thing that is troubling you? It's called humility. Humility is to bring all your opinions and the things are present. They are standing in front of you and they are speaking, shouting loudly. You look at it and say, still, the word of the Lord unto me says, that's humility. Humility is not trying to act like you are nothing. No. You are everything God says you are. You are as such a treasure as God has made you. How do you know that? How much it cost him to own you. That's the measure of your treasure. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. See, the peace of God, it is meant to subdue. There's things that are standing in front of you and shouting and claiming that you are dead. You have come to an end. There is no hope for you. Tomorrow is going to be darker. It's going to get darker and darker and darker. You can look at your son, your daughter, who has gone off and say, but Lord, your promise to me is that when I laid hold of this life, my household shall be redeemed. Therefore, I stand upon the promise, for I know that faithful is he who has promised. God says, that's my son. That's my son. That's my son. That's my son. He stands upon the authority of my word. Therefore, shall no good thing be withheld from him. Why? The one who shines the sun on you is the one who provides the shade or the shelter. Don't doubt him. Don't trust your mind and your opinions too much. Because you have done that. I don't know if you like the outcome so much. Oh Lord, I don't like mine. I honestly don't like mine. I mean, every terrible thing I've made, everything that has ruined my life is because I entrusted myself to what made sense to me. That's all. If you don't come to that conclusion yourself, well, nobody can tell you that. It's varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures. Who gives birth to that? The Holy Spirit at work in your spirit. It's called the fruit. Produced by the Holy Spirit within you. He's there for a reason. He's waiting to be engaged, just as the voice in your flesh is always seeking. He doesn't wait. He's just trying to overtake. So you find that you didn't call it, but it's lasting. You didn't ask him to last, but it's lasting. It doesn't even ask your opinion. It just is coming through. And we really all need to begin to know what it is and see it for what it is. And say, no, you're always doing this to me. You're always making me depressed. You're always making me fearful. You're always belittling me, making me feel like I'm useless. You're always doing that. Shut up. Who are you talking to? Your flesh, your mind, your opinion. You're always making me afraid. Abba. How can I be afraid of this and afraid of God together? It's not possible. You're always making me do this. You're always making me speak like this. You're always making me go to this boy or go to this girl. You're always, shut up. I'll be okay. Because God is with me. What are you doing? You are now respecting the Holy Spirit's presence. And when you engage him, he will engage you. Do you have any idea how many times the Jews disobeyed God? He blesses them. He makes them conquer their enemies. Oh, they go right back to worshiping idols. And then he leaves them. They are brought under bondage. This. They cry unto him. He comes back. He delivers. You will think that they will learn their lesson. No. They go right back. But he understood it. Why? Because he knew that they were ruled by the nature which they all got from Adam. But a day was coming. A day was coming when the spirit, do you remember when, give my people, please. Do you remember when are you guys enjoying the word of God today?
Yes.
Do you remember when Noah after the flood, he released the dove?
Yeah.
Do you remember it flew up? Couldn't find a place, then it came back. Do you remember?
Yes.
Good. He did it again. Now, do you know that the final time when it flew, it never came back? You know that dove is a type and a prophecy of the Holy Spirit. That dove that happened in the Old Testament, the understanding is that it flew over Abraham, over Moses, over all the prophets, over all the patriarchs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of them. It flew. Why? It couldn't find rest until John chapter 1, verse 29. Read it. Show it to me. I'll show you something. John chapter 1. Let me just make sure I have the verse. John chapter 1, I think verse 27 or 29. Look at it. Look at John 1:29. Let's read it from there. John chapter 1 from verse 29. Are you guys hearing me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Chris, give it to me, please. I bear with me. I may not share so much of what I want to share, but it's okay. Let me just go off. It's fine. John chapter 1, verse 29. Okay, let me read it. It's not coming for some reason. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. And it says, This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred, or have a greater rank than me. Far, 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 far. For he was before me, or he existed before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Verse 32. And John bear record. He says, Then as John baptized Jesus, he spoke these words. I see the Spirit
descending from heaven like a dove.
Okay, how do you use this one? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, I had to use my phone. I said, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining or resting, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Now, what it means is that the dove is flew. It flew throughout all the ages. Abraham, just Moses, David, all the patriarchs, everybody. It couldn't rest on anybody. The Holy Spirit could just come, and then the man of God would prophesy, and then he would leave. Why? Because there was only one. His name is Jesus Christ. He was the only one. He was the only one who did not have in his person, in his being, anything that could offend heaven. Everybody else, even though they desired after God, even though they followed after God, still carried that nature called sin. But this one, who was not born of the seed of man, but born of God himself. Yeah, join it. Ah, good. I'll shut it off.
No, keep it on because it may turn off again.
Okay.
And you can just switch. But leave the audio on that one.
Okay.
And then I'll go recording in progress.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm back in. I'm sorry for the major disturbance. So what he's saying is that there is one who was coming, and John was notified that the one upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain. Why is that important? He was the only one that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, could rest upon, because there was nothing in him that could offend holiness. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So he is the one whom God gave to deal with everything that prevented us from being partakers of his life. That was just by the way. How many of you are enjoying God's word still? Yeah. Now, so you see the contention that we're reading about, the contention, the conflict. You remember? Yeah, I'm about to close. So let me just... Chris, can you give me that scripture back one more time so that I can just finish it? We were reading Galatians 5. I think we were all the way down to verse probably 17 or 18, 19 in the Passion. The Passion. And then give it to me in verse probably 20. Yeah, 21. Yeah, let me just complete it and then we will be closing very soon. It says, okay, being envious of the blessings of others, murder and control addiction. Oh, go on. Next verse, 22. Yeah. So it says, by the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you, the seed bears fruit. The Holy Spirit is the seed who wants to bear fruit within you. The power is in the Holy Spirit. The power is not in you. You are not your own strength. Willpower, you cannot use your willpower for anything. You cannot use positive confession for anything. You cannot use positive proclamation and behavior modification. I'm going to change my life. No. Just let the Holy Spirit bring or bear forth his fruit. Just have respect and acknowledgement. But it will cost you. What does it cost you? It costs you wanting to speak what makes sense to you. It costs you wanting to just do things that make you happy. I'm tired of this marriage. I'm leaving. Where are you going? How many of you married people have considered before? Show me. Enoch has never had that thought before. have you had that thought before? Yes or no? Oh, don't laugh, please. Yes or no?
Oh, yes.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it is. Everybody has had it. Look, I need my freedom. I need my peace. But where are you going? That which God has put together says, let no man put asunder. You want to put asunder? Well, go ahead. You want to marry somebody else? He says, he who divorced his wife is in error. He who marries the divorced wife is also in error.
Forgive.
So disciples, when they heard this, they say, if this be the case, because he said that you cannot divorce your wife except by fornication. But you notice that there are other reasons why, because your intention to divorce your wife was not because of fornication. Was it because of fornication? I mean, adultery.
No.
There was other issues, more pressing, more painful, more hurting. It's not adultery. But Jesus said the only reason is adultery. So the disciples said, if this be the case of a man, then marriage is not even worth it. Then he said, not everybody can handle this. Jesus is too bad, I tell you. Because the things that he wants to bring forth is impossible. But his spirit doesn't have your limitations. He's going to bear this kind of fruit. The joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, and life full of virtue. My goodness. Faith that prevails. Gentleness of heart. Strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. I mean, look. How many of you are enjoying God's word? I tell you, God doesn't need anything from us, though. He just wants us to have respect. Now, quickly. Quickly. So if you remember, we read last week or two that we should awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Awake to righteousness, because if you don't awake, now what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean to awake to righteousness? Become conscious. Become conscious of your new nature, which is called righteousness, which God has given you through his son. Become full of it. Don't continue to be conscious of your old self-life. This is what happened in my life. This is what I've suffered. This is what I've experienced. This is what we don't work. Listen to me. We have seen all kinds of wild miracles that God has executed in lives. But when it comes to us or ours, we want to explain it. We want to rationalize it and say, this is why that. And I'm waiting for God. God says, listen, there is nothing impossible. There's nothing. Listen, I am able to make a way in the Red Sea. I'm able to stop the sun. What is an eye? I can, listen, you say you don't, you first, I can put a new one there. You say what? You need a new heart. I will change your heart. I'll give you a heart that works, because yours is dying. Because your work on earth is not finished yet. I mean, this is the God that we serve. But sin or the consciousness of the self makes you become rational. You rationalize everything. You explain everything. So he says, my son, my daughter, awake. Stop sleeping. Become conscious. And he says that the reason why, give him, let's read the scripture before we close. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. Says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge. Can you give it to me, the King James, please? King James. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. Some have not. They don't know God. They don't know. They don't know God. It's like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Because the reason why we sin is because we are still in the sleep state of sin consciousness or self-consciousness. We are still asleep. A great work has been accomplished. A mighty life miracle has been brought forth. But his children are still awake. They don't know what God has done. They don't know who God is. They don't know his ways. And so they continue to be in the sleep state, and sin continues to have dominion on their lives. Look at the next verse. Then immediately he says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? Now you can see right here that awakening to righteousness has everything to do with the resurrection. The more you continue to say, oh, Jesus died for me and he took away my sins, I am a child of God. Listen, that is true. But that is a very tiny fraction of what he did. Because it is in the resurrection that the new life that contains the spirit, the power, the ability to love, overlook a fault, is contained in the resurrection. It says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? How are the dead raised up? What do we call somebody who is raised from the dead? It's not resurrection.
Yes.
Yes. So the apostle is saying that righteousness, because remember he said, I'll wait to righteousness. Righteousness is the result of the resurrection. And that the first step to the revelation of righteousness is the revelation that we are dead in Christ. But we are hereby being informed of something, of another truth. The life that we had in Adam is ended, is dead. Christ is the one who brought it to an end. Look at the next verse. It says, but some will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? With what body do they come? That's the question. Next verse. It says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not made alive or quickened, except it dies, right? When you sow corn grain, doesn't it die first before it gives life?
Yes.
Very good. So next verse. Then it says that you, and that which you sow, you don't sow that body that shall be, but what you sow, bare grain. Then it may chance of wheat or of some other grains. So what he's saying is that what you sow is not the fruit. You don't sow, if you want apple, you don't sow apple fruit. What do you sow? Apple seed. You sow the seed, right?
Yes.
Can you look at the seed? Can you look at a seed and look and compare that to a fruit?
No.
No. For example, the oak tree, the seed, it's so tiny, it's impossible to compare the tiny seed to the tree or the fruit that it yields. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So he's saying, now we don't have time to read all those things. But if you go down to verse 42, look at it. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. So he's saying that Jesus, this Jesus whom you see walking around, this Jesus whom you saw, you interacted, this Jesus who they spat on, they did this as if he was so powerless and so weak. Everybody could spit on him, the suffering servant. Listen, he is a seed that was going to be sown. And when he's raised up, you will not have any idea the life that is going to bring forth. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because we still relate to Jesus as the man who walked on the streets of Galilee. And so I'm going to be like him. No. The life that Jesus, now look at it though. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. So whatever corruption man has become, Jesus. Remember he said, except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides by itself.
Mm-hmm.
But if it dies, it will yield forth much fruit. Remember?
Yes.
He was talking about himself, that he, the Lamb of God, who didn't have any sin, he is going to sow himself. He's going to become everything that you were, everything that was wrong with you, all your sins you've committed, all the sins you will ever commit. He's going to sow himself. He's going to put it upon himself and be made sin. And he's going to be sown. So he'll be sown in corruption. Next verse. Next verse. He's going to be sown in dishonor. Look at the nakedness, the shame. But it's going to be raised in such glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Now he's saying that he is, and it is sown a natural body. Remember, Adam became sentenced to flesh and blood. The only things that he could see are what he could relate with. Meanwhile, that's not how God made him. But because of the fall, that's how we also became. What you are saying to me must make sense. If it doesn't make sense, if my eyes can't see it, my ears can't hear it, my hands can't touch it, it's foolishness. That's why we so easily throw away God's promises and engage that which we see, that which we can feel, that which we can, because Jesus had to become everything that we were and then bring forth a spiritual body, a spiritual body. What is a spiritual body? A spiritual body is a body that contains now the spirit. That is you who are born again now and me. And then he says in verse 50, look at verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot. If you continue to live your self-life, you cannot. The attributes of your physical nature, your physical being, it cannot. It's foolishness to it. The life of the kingdom, the life which I am bringing, which I have brought. Listen, it's foolishness to you whose mind, you are born again, but your mind is so set on your natural life. And so you are always asking God to do something for you, not knowing that, listen, I have done it. I have done it. When would you lay hold of it? It's in your spirit. Your eyes cannot see it, but it's true. You may not be able to feel it, but it's true. That is why he calls things that be not as though they are. It's but I say that brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. It has got to be sown before it can bring forth. Jesus, whose body represented yours and mine, has sown his body, and in the resurrection, he has brought forth the life that is no longer in bondage. And the only way you and I, give me my people, please. The only way you and I are going to live this life. Yeah, is that we begin. Amy, come and help me. We begin to yield. We begin to lose. We begin to see that we are dead and it is Christ who lives in us. This is what your body, your flesh will fight you, because your flesh wants to make you your God. Your flesh still wants to make you. Remember, God said that man has become a God like unto us, but it was not God who made him that way. This is the deception that came through Adam and that came through the devil that made them eat of that tree, that made them a god unto themselves. So your flesh still wants to make you a god unto yourself, but your spirit, together with the Holy Spirit, wants you to yield to the life. Now listen, I'm closing. Listen, Jesus is the way. He is the way. He doesn't show you the way. No. No, it's not like, oh, this is the way, take it. No, if you to be able to walk that way, he must put you in himself. So it's not like I'm telling you something to you go and do it, and when you do it, I'll bless you. It doesn't work like that. I am going to put you inside me, and if you allow me, we will go and do it, and my power is what will work through you. I don't need your help. That's what grace is. Then it says that he is the truth. He is not going to tell you something that this is the truth. No, he is. He is it. For you to walk in truth, you have to be put in him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So God says that I have given my son, Jesus, to be for you righteousness. How do you become righteous? You don't do right things. God makes Jesus to become your righteousness. He says, I am going to also make him to be your wisdom. I have given him. He will be your wisdom. How do you get wisdom? God has to put you in his son. So Jesus becomes your wisdom. Jesus becomes your holiness. Jesus becomes your redemption. How are you going to be redeemed from things that will destroy your life? Jesus. God puts you in him. So to live this life, you must abide in him. You must find your life in him. You must speak by his authority. You must think by what he allows. He is not telling you, say this. No. No, I'm putting you in me. We will live together. We will overcome. We will deal with all the things. We will sort things out. But not by your might. Don't ignore me. Don't you ignore me. Don't you ignore me. Walk with me. acknowledge me, and we shall soar above the elements. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow. Well, we have come to the end of a wonderful time in his presence. Let's rise to our feet. Say with me, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
You are my God.
You are my God.
Your ways are the ways of life.
Your ways are the ways of life.
I will choose you.
I will choose you.
I will honor you.
I will honor you.
I do not receive Jesus only as my Savior.
I do not receive Jesus only as my Savior.
But I crown him as my Lord.
But I crown him as my Lord.
I allow him to have the first say.
I allow him to have the first say.
In all I think.
In all I think.
In all I do.
In all I do.
And in all I seek to achieve.
And in all I seek to achieve.
If he says no, the answer is no.
If he says no, the answer is no.
If he says yes, no man can undo it.
If he says yes, no man can undo it.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
That you are present to help me.
That you are present to help me.
Accomplish this.
Accomplish this.
But it's not by might.
For it is not by might.
But it is by your Spirit.
But it's by your Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now take your body. Take your body. Oh, I pray that every one of us will begin to have respect for the life you have received from the Father. It doesn't matter what mistakes you have made. Oh, Bible said that 1,000 years is like a day. You can so easily undo everything that you have brought into your life. So easily. Easily. The devils know it. They don't want you to give him a chance. But you must choose. And you must gladly choose him. So today, lift up the body and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ.
Body of Jesus Christ.
Broken for me.
Broken for me.
To deliver me from every bondage.
To deliver me from every bondage.
And every curse.
And every curse.
Every sickness.
Every sickness.
Every disease.
Every disease.
Every affliction.
Every affliction.
Every malfunction of any organ in my body.
Every malfunction of any organ, every organ in my body.
So that I will live to accomplish his purpose.
So that I will live to accomplish his purpose.
For I will not die.
For I will not die.
But I will live.
But I will live.
To declare.
To declare.
The goodness.
The goodness.
And the miraculous hand and power.
And the miraculous hand and power.
Of my Father.
Of my Father.
And my Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Body of Jesus Christ.
Please eat the body. Now lift up your cup, the cup of blessing, and say with me, this is the blood of Jesus.
This is the blood of Jesus.
The only righteous blood.
The only righteous blood.
The blood that did not emanate from the seed of man.
The blood that did not emanate from the seed of man.
But the blood that came from the seed of God himself.
The blood that came from the seed of God himself.
The blood that has made an eternal covenant with me.
The blood that has made an eternal covenant with me.
The blood that cleanses me.
The blood that cleanses me.
And purges me.
And purges me.
And releases me.
And releases me.
From every hold of the enemy.
From every hold of the enemy.
From every generational curse.
From every generational curse.
The blood that makes nonsense.
The blood that makes nonsense.
Every error of mine.
Every error of mine.
And every sin of mine.
And every sin of mine.
And even those that I'm yet to commit.
And even those that I'm yet to commit.
This
blood.
Releases me.
Releases me.
From its consequences.
From its consequences.
That I may have life.
That I may have life.
And have it abundantly.
And have it abundantly.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
Please bring the blood. This is the blood that seals all things. Yeah, we are blessed. You must believe all these things, okay? Beautiful. Well, thank you.